PCJ Radio International presents the longest-running international show, The Happy Station Show, produced and presented by Keith Pehon.
Well, good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Welcome again to another edition of your program, Happy Station, of course, from PCJ Radio International. It's very nice to have you with me for the next 55 minutes. Today, actually, we have a Happy Station special, and it is an interesting program. Now, in the past, people have asked us what local radio in Taiwan is like. And today, we're going to be doing just that. Now, I'll tell you a little bit more about that after we take a listen to our first piece of music today. Now, this was a song that was made popular by Pat Boone many, many years ago. The version that we're going to listen to now is in French, and it's called Le Petit Gonzalez.
La la la!
Consuela disait, reviens donc ici, petit Gonzalez. C'est maman qui te dit ça. Sinon tu couronnes ton papa, lui qui n'insistera pas. Si tu n'as pas fini tes leçons, ça fera du bruit à la maison. Tes devoirs sont très mauvais, tu sais. Il te faut les recommencer. Petit Gonzalez.
Oui.
Je t'en prie, reviens.
Non, je ne veux pas.
Petit Gonzalez.
Oui.
Pourquoi t'en vas-tu si loin?
Parce que j'ai rendez-vous avec la belle Anna. La 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 la.
Nous verrons à ton retour, oui. Surtout si tu reviens la nuit. Je vois déjà ton père et sa main. Et là, crois-moi, oui, je te plains. Écoutez-moi et ne dis pas non. Voici ton livre et tes crayons. De moi, tu n'auras donc jamais pitié. Quand ton je ne veux plus crier. Petit Gonzalez.
Oui.
Je t'en prie, reviens.
Non, je ne veux pas.
Petit Gonzalez.
Oui.
Pourquoi t'en vas-tu si loin?
The French version of the song that was originally made popular by Pat Boone, Speedy Gonzalez, in French there, called Le Petit Gonzalez, performed by the French singer Dalida. There was another version of the song that we played a few years ago from a Hong Kong singer, where the song is actually performed in Cantonese. And there's also a Spanish version of the song as well. And the thing is, they pretty much all sound and begin the same way, except for maybe the language, of course, that the song is performed in. Which is unusual, because sometimes they change the song completely. Anyway, you are listening to Happy Station, coming to you from PCJ Radio International. Now, people have written me before, asking me what radio in Taiwan is like. And today, that's exactly what we're going to be doing. We're going to be listening to a radio broadcast from here in Taiwan. But a particular one. About 4 weeks ago, I was contacted by a radio station here in Taiwan called ICRT. ICRT is an English language broadcast station that reaches all of Taiwan on three FM transmitters in the north, south, middle. And before 1979, the station was known as Armed Forces Taiwan Network. Now, one of the reporters at the station read a post that I put on the internet quite some time ago, because I had a number of recordings from the Armed Forces Taiwan Network. And they wanted to do a program looking at the history of the Armed Forces Radio Network in Taiwan. So we did it 2 weeks ago. It was a live program. So the program you're going to listen to now is that very, very program. Now, it was 1 hour long. There are some bits and pieces that have, of course, been edited out for time restraint. So now let's listen to that transmission. The program is actually aired as part of their morning show with Terry Engel, who does the morning drive show from, what time is it? 6 a.m. to noon. And on Wednesdays, they have a section called Talk Taiwan. So let's listen to it now.
Your international choice.
A Taipei RNR through the eyes of the fifth dimension.
Getting better by the minute. Makes you glad you're living in it. What a great happy time.
It's a great golden day. Made for laughing at your worries. In a place where no one hurries. Telling jokes.
It's a day that's made for sitting on a sea of friends. It's a day that's kind of innocent.
Fifth Dimension, a Taipei R&R, and you together.
No need to adjust your time machines, ladies and gentlemen, at all. We are, in fact, in the present day, but having a little look back into the history here at ICRT.
Right. As many of our listeners perhaps have already guessed, that was not the sound of ICRT. It was instead the sound of ICRT before it was ICRT, because, of course, ICRT has been around since 1979, mm-hmm. but that is not the beginning of English language radio here in Taiwan. Before that, there was the Armed Forces Network in Taiwan. Now, that was a radio station that was set up in the mid-50s to serve U.S. military personnel around the world. And that clip that we just heard, very interesting little bit of radio history, that would have been the clip that would have been played for service people around Asia, kind of telling them, oh, you want some R&R? Taipei is the place to go.
Here it is.
Here it is, right here in Taipei.
Now, we have a very interesting segment all set up for you today. We've got a number of guests as well as a number of clips, much like we just heard there. And our first guest, tell us about that, Keith.
Well, our first guest, the whole reason that we're having this show is because our first guest is somebody who's quite committed to preserving the history of radio. And he stumbled upon a stash of tapes from this period in radio history in Taiwan, and he's taken it upon himself to digitize it, preserve it. Let's get that whole story in just a second. Let's introduce him. I'm talking about Keith Perrone. He runs the Taipei Bureau of PCJ Radio International. That station was previously Radio Netherlands. So, Keith, thanks for being here.
Hi. I should correct you on that. It came out of Radio Netherlands. It wasn't previously Radio Netherlands.
Got it. All right. So, how this all started is I saw a post from you on Forumosa talking about these tapes that you had.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about those tapes. Where did you find them?
Well, I'm the kind of person, I think there's a lot of people out there on the weekends, when you have time, you like to go and check out different flea markets, and people are selling all kinds of things. And being somebody that's interested in sound, I came across a vendor that had these tapes, and I asked what was on these. He said, oh, I don't know. And I just took mm-hmm. one.
So just a guy at a flea market, pretty much.
At a flea market, I went, oh, this is interesting.
Were they actually tapes? Tapes?
Yeah, of course, yeah. Ampex tape and a couple of 3M tapes. And I contacted him after. I said, by the way, do you have any more than these? And he said, oh, actually, I don't. But I know somebody who does. And we went somewhere, and this guy had a couple of boxes, two boxes of tapes that were sitting in a very wet attic. And that's the last place that you want to keep any type of tapes, because mold and mildew will form on them. Not just tapes, but also carts. This is, of course, pre-CD days, when you had mm-hmm. one. If you don't know what a cart is, anybody, it's a tape loop that's inside a plastic packaging that plays 1 or 2 minutes or 3 minutes. And they had some of these as well. And I'm like, oh, this is interesting. Basically, it was the kind of thing he got hold of them because somebody had said, oh, here, take these. And he just put them away. He didn't think they were anything interesting, and he'd totally forgotten about them.
Well, why don't you tell us, like, what was on the tape then? You went home, you listened to them, and what did you find?
Well, I only listened to the ones that I would dare to listen to, because some of them were in really bad condition. But it was programs, excerpts of interviews, air checks. Most of them were air checks. Mm-hmm. So a few were studio tapes, but a few were recorded off the air so they could preserve them for like a month or 2 months or however long it was. Music programming, some news bits, news feed bits coming in from other places of the world.
And we'll get an opportunity to hear some of those. And, of course, we're talking about on those tapes was the Armed Forces Network here as well.
So the basic, what it sounds like, just from my impression of all this, is it sounds like once Armed Forces Network kind of cleared out of Taiwan, they just let these tapes go. They kind of went off into the ether. And that was, you know, when it transferred between AFN to ICRT back
in 19... And Keith was the benefactor of that ether.
Well, for a long time, it was that guy at the flea market, apparently. Now, let's get into some of these clips. We have a lot that we want to listen to today. The first one that we're going to set up here was actually from the Armed Forces Network, but it wasn't produced here in Taiwan. It's a DJ named Chris Noel. Tell us a little bit about what this program was.
Chris Noel was also an actress. She did some modeling. And if any you military personnel out there will know that if you want to make contact with military personnel, especially men, have a woman do a program. So this woman sounds very light, happy, and she did just music program and playing requests for people that were listening to any of the AFN stations.
Welcome once again. This is Chris Noel, and I think I got some good songs for you today. Some new ones by, a lot of good artists and some real oldies. Steppenwolf Now and Born to Be Wild.
So that's what would have been playing on the network, Armed Forces Network.
Born to Be Wild.
1969.
Like you needed to encourage the servicemen anymore.
Exactly.
And this actually was one of their most popular shows. Especially in Vietnam, but also in Taiwan as well.
So this was a syndicated program, for lack of a better term.
That's right, yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah.
All right, now to just really give our listeners even a better feel of what the Armed Forces Network was all about, we have another guest to introduce right now. This is George Smith. He is the public affairs officer of the American Forces Network, which is the current name of the network. George, hello to you.
How are you? Good morning.
Good morning.
George, thanks for joining the program. Maybe you can give us just, a very basic kind of description of what the Armed Forces, or the American Forces now, but the Armed Forces Network was, and what service were they providing?
Well, the thing is that with, and I can understand, with its Armed Forces Radio and Television Service at one time, now we're the American Forces Radio and Television Service, we've moved about three, four times since we came into existence, and that was back in May of 42. But the best way I describe what we do is we provide entertainment for the American military, their family members, and DOD civilians and retirees living overseas. And so I kind of call us cultural ambassadors, English ambassadors for the people that are listening in, like the people there in Taiwan. Is they get to listen to this, and it really is meant from our DJs to our fellow military personnel. But we had many, 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 many host nationals that listened to us, like in Taiwan in the 50s and 60s and 70s.
Well, let's pick up on that idea of cultural ambassador and kind of bringing American culture to new parts of the world, because you yourself were actually a DJ on this network. You told me before we got on air here in two different countries even. So maybe we could talk a little bit about what you were trying to bring to your listeners back then.
Yes, I was a DJ in Thailand from 74 to 76. And then I also was a DJ in Korea from 78 to 79, and then I just wanted to stay overseas. I was a DJ in Germany also, so I was one of those AFRTS military districts. So for me, the thing that was very, very gratifying back, and I'll speak to when I was a DJ in the 70s and 80s, was that wherever we broadcast, the people that were listening in, the Thais, the Koreans, Germans, and from what I read from Keith's article and what I've heard from Tony Scott, and he used to work over there, the same impact there in Taiwan is that people listen in. They listened in now to learn English, and they listened in then to learn English. And it's my opinion that we really did a lot in bringing American culture to different countries, jazz, rock, pop, really.
Were the Armed Forces Networks, were they involved in the community here? Now, I know you weren't here in Taiwan, but speak on maybe your experience. Did the radio stations kind of go beyond just broadcasting over the airwaves?
Very much. At the time, they were minor celebrities and very much interested in what happened off the military installations. And they would be working with some of the musicians in the different countries. They would be English language voice talent on some records at the time. But anybody that lives overseas, that works overseas, you want to mingle with the people that live in that country, the natives. And that's what our DJs, many of our DJs did, wherever they were stationed, me and
continuing on that idea of cultural ambassadorism, as you talked about.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, that's true. And Germany, for example, Elvis Presley was over there. And Elvis Presley, think about what an ambassador he was. He was actually in the U.S. Army. And so wherever he went, he had throngs of Germans, Americans, wherever he went. And
right.
He, wearing an American military uniform, was doing music and there in person.
Let me ask you a little bit about the state of the American Forces Radio now today. Do you operate in a similar manner? Are you obviously you're not in Taiwan here anymore. Maybe give us a sense of where you guys are broadcasting now and if the role has changed at all.
The role has changed, but I really enjoy hearing that clip from Chris Noel, and she is someone that I work out of Riverside, California, which is about an hour and a half from L.A. and Hollywood. And those are some of the performing artists that we contracted with and provided shows for Taiwan, Korea, other countries like that. So Chris, Wolfman Jack, Jim Pewter, Don Tracy. So all of those personalities are in California. But what our role has changed with right now is, well, it's more technology. We don't have records. We have MP3 files. We go by satellite, and we've gotten smaller as far as whenever the American military leaves an area, so does AFN.
Right. And so you guys still primarily provide entertainment for the servicemen.
Yes. It's a touch of home.
Right.
That's really it. You have to, in the 50s, 60s, 70s especially, when you're in a country like Taiwan or Germany or Thailand, there's not any English language entertainment.
Right.
And there's not any English language news.
And that would have been even more true in the 50s, 60s, 70s. And just to kind of drive that point home a little bit, I mean, I was kind of Googling around a little bit to find if there was anything about this period online. And there were a couple of folks kind of reminiscing from their time in the 60s and 70s in Taiwan and how vividly they remembered listening to this network. I mean, it really did make a big impact on their lives, just listening or being a part to any of these stations.
Yeah, it's interesting being at the TAS reunion of a couple of weeks ago, I suppose, and the exact same thing where Tony Scott, who's going to be on the program just a little bit later, was talking a little bit about the programming and his role there. And the same, exactly what you're talking about. People really, really, it struck a chord that this was their major form of entertainment. Whereas radio kind of takes a backseat to maybe YouTube today or some other media forms, people really kind of, you know, grabbed onto it as if this was, you know, the most popular television or show on the face of the planet at the time.
You know, just one thing I was thinking about, because there are other countries that also have armed forces networks. Canada had one, the British had one, but the most popular one of all of the three was actually the U.S. one.
Hmm.
Yeah, right, right. All right, well, George, listen.
I was going to say one thing with you were asking about what's changed, and you both touched on it there, that what really has changed is technology. And we used to be almost game in town, but with the Internet and different radio stations that are operating in that national country, like Germany and places like that, we have competition now. We were the only English radio station in town. We aren't anymore.
Yeah, right.
Well, we certainly know what that means.
We know what that means here in Taipei. It's the only radio station with English. George, listen, thanks so much for joining us here this morning. We really appreciate your insight and your kind of expertise here on the subject, and we wish you good luck. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
All right, we got to take a short break here on The Morning Show with Terry, and continue more of our Wednesday extended interview here, where we're talking about a time when the Armed Forces Network ruled here in Taipei as far as English language programming goes. We'll take a short break and back in just a moment.
Portions of the day's programming are reproduced by means of tape recording.
Yep, like the following important messages. ICRT.
Best.
Yamaha.
Good morning.
Morning.
Good morning.
Yes, good morning indeed. It's time to get back to the morning show with Terry.
I can't wait to wake up.
Right here on ICRT.
10:25, we return to our Wednesday extended interview segment, in which we have Keith Baroni in, and he is, or has, restored a lot of tapes from the AFN network period.
Yeah, he met a guy at
flea market.
A freaking flea market. Yeah. That's what it took to get a hold of some of these tapes. He's been preserving them up and learning a little bit about the history of the network. He actually, Keith, you wrote an article about the history of AFN in Taiwan. So you know considerably more than even some people, you know, directly involved in AFN. You know quite a bit. So we're going to turn to you now to kind of set up the very early days of this network in Taiwan. Tell us about that. How did it really get started in the first place in the 50s?
Well, it started, of course, after 1949 when the KMT came to Taiwan. And, you know, it was at the time when the U.S. military base, we're putting U.S. military personnel here in Taiwan. And every place where there's U.S. military personnel, they'll have an AFN station. So the station started like that. But it wasn't a big operation at the time. It was very small, maybe a few hours a day, renting transmitter time from local stations. And then eventually expanding it when they realized, oh, we're going to be here a lot longer than we thought. Expanding it, doing a lot of their own local programming. And that's basically how it started. And in those days, today, of course, you're using FM. In those days, they were using medium wave. Mm-hmm. And at one point, they even had two short wave frequencies, which covered not only Taiwan, but made its way to Europe, to Asia-Pacific. And a lot of shortwave listeners at the time would remember picking up the low-powered shortwave frequency from Taiwan and writing in to get a reception report.
And that's actually how you got some of your information about the network, is talking to some of those people.
Yeah, we see, you know, the thing that's interesting about AFN, AFN probably has a lot of their history about what they did in Washington and their big, big organizations like they had in Vietnam. But something like Taiwan, which was much smaller, preserving programs and preserving the history wasn't really the main priority.
Yeah. Right.
In Germany, it was. And other big – and Korea and Japan as well. So there were a couple of shortwave listeners, people in their 70s and 80s, when I said, I'm looking for some information and some pictures.
Right.
And they said, oh, yes, I wrote them in 1962 when I was listening to them on 3.2 blah, blah, blah kilohertz. And they wrote back and they sent some pictures of their studio and the receptionist. And then I had a chance to visit them when I visited Taiwan in 1968 and took some pictures and recorded stuff on the air. So, you know, and listening to this these things, I'm going, well, this is incredible, because actually – in some cases, shortwave listeners have done a better job at documenting a station's history than the station itself.
Yeah, right. Well, I guess shortwave listeners had a real kind of, I want to say it was a hobby, but it was kind of more of a hobby. They had that kind of real interest in what they were doing there. The same way we talked about stamp collecting this morning or whatnot. A lot of times stamp collectors will know more about the stamps themselves than the postal services. And shortwave radio was certainly very much like
that. Well, you see, for example, something that many people would not even realize this, but AFN also had a station in China during the Second World War. It didn't last very long. I think maybe less than a year and a half. But that was just for the short period of time towards the end of the Second World War. And also, again, renting airtime on different translators.
Right, right.
But very little information is known about it. The information that I've only been able to find out is frequencies that they use, the time of hours that they were on the air. But everybody else went, oh, we didn't keep any records.
Right. Let's get into some of the clips that you did bring. Why don't you? Why don't we start talking about those a little bit? Because you brought a whole kind of gamut of a couple of different things. Why don't we start talking about some of those?
Right. So this is going to kind of pick up on one of the points that we were hearing from George Smith right there. The fact that in Taipei, listening to AFNT was one of the first ways that local residents of Taipei were exposed to a lot of American music. And you were making the point to me that it really was a broad range of music that was being played on the network.
Right. And of course, not just American music, but British music, you know, popular music at the time. Whereas ICRT is, okay, this is your format. If it's a classical station, it's a classical station. In Taiwan, Armed Forces Taiwan Network was 20 different stations all combined into one.
Exactly.
One minute you could be hearing jazz.
Well, this is the interesting thing, is that ICRT really does mirror that. ICRT has the responsibility and carries the responsibility that the Armed Forces Network did have, in that we are responsible for English programming here. And English programming
is not a genre.
Yeah, in a globalized world especially, mm-hmm. encompasses just about anything
exactly.
nowadays.
Right.
And I think this is one of the things I always like to just put an exclamation point on this, and I won't take up too much time saying this, but whenever I'm in the community and people are asking me about ICRT, I say ICRT has a big burden, and I don't think people realize how diverse what we need to get across or would like to get across are in the course of one day, where we have jazz, we have music from Africa, we have the hits from all across Asia, we have, of course, local Taiwanese artists that come in. I mean, there's a wide range, and that's carrying on from AFN, and that's what they used to do.
Right, and you know, the only difference, though, with then and today would be, for example, 1 hour they'd be playing the Rolling Stones and the Beatles, and the next hour they'd say, now time for some light music. Here's Ray Conniff and his singers.
Yeah, well, believe it or not, that's not that different from ICRT at all. It really isn't. I mean, in the course of one program, Frank Sinatra might be played, and I'll play Metallica in the next. You know, and I think everybody really, the programming is approached that way
right.
here at ICRT. So we have the first clip here. Why don't you set this up for us?
If I'm not mistaken, I believe this is sort of, if you tune to Armed Forces Network Taiwan, the various music formats that you would have been able to hear at the time.
This is the Armed Forces Network Taiwan.
Then I saw her face. Now I'm a believer.
I'm crazy for feeling so lonely.
Can't get used to losing you no matter what I try to do. Gonna live my whole life through loving you.
Running the gamut of popular music, and now I'm going to guess 1964. I want to say 62, but I'm going to say 64.
Well, the music is actually from different periods from the 60s.
Right.
I should mention that the third song in there was by Ray Conniff and his singers, called Happiness Is. And Ray Conniff and his group did special recording sessions for the Armed Forces Network. And a lot of the jingles that were on AFN, even the first days of ICRT, were by Johnny Mann and his singers.
Mm,
the
wow.
first days.
So actual artists coming to Taiwan, doing recordings, and I think...
Well, they wouldn't be made here. They would be made maybe Los Angeles or New York or whatever, but then they would be sent here.
Right. And AFN had a lot of artists coming in, a lot of different people coming in at different times. You're right, some was recorded there, but AFN, specifically here in Taiwan, had a few
people that would roll in from time to time, and they would be responsible in setting that up?
Right. Well, see, if you had, say, for example, you had the USO Tour, which is the United States Entertainment group that would visit the various armed forces posts. So if they were coming, let's say, to Asia, they would probably, if they had time, they would stop in Taiwan. So groups like the Searchers, Diana Ross and the Supremes, the list goes on, all came to Taiwan to perform at the American Club.
Wow.
And was broadcast on Armed Forces Network Taiwan.
Wow.
So imagine that. Imagine seeing Diana Ross.
Yeah,
here
no,
in
at the American.
Yeah, no, that's the American. Crazy.
And so that would all be for the armed forces stationed over here, a form of entertainment for them.
It would be a form of entertainment for them. I mean, they had like various different acts that were coming over, because Bob Hope.
Among them, Bob Hope.
Yes, among them, Bob Hope, who brought his shows to every. Oh, he brought them to Korea, Japan, Germany. He brought his Bob Hope show to all U.S. posts. Taiwan was one of them as well.
Well, he was very iconic as far as servicemen went, because he would, you're right, go to all the posts. He would make a point of making it a special as well on television.
Right.
You know, Bob Hope overseas performing for the servicemen, the American servicemen and whatnot. So this was something that, if him coming to Taiwan, must have been just a huge deal.
The guy with the golf club, for anybody younger than me.
Yeah.
Hi-oh.
When he came to Taiwan, it's because he had just been performing in Vietnam, and of course it was on the way. And he would bring the show to places, I mean, okay, like Vietnam, when the war was going on, he would bring them to places where, like, the shelling was only, like, you know, 20 or 30 kilometers away.
Wow.
And these acts would be flown in by helicopter sometimes. And a very dangerous, you know, situation. So Taiwan for them is, like, very relaxing.
Bob Hope in Taiwan.
Here we are at Chongqing Chongqing Air Base. Taiwan. Must be tough duty here. I'm pooped just saying it. Now, if Ching Chongqing Air Base is a mystery to you, it's about a half hour's drive from Taichung. Let's face it, we're lost. Now, this is Formosa, or as it's known in the UN, oh shucks. Beautiful island, but after you've been here a while, it looks like Gilligan's Island. Yes, we're just 95 miles from Red China. On a clear day, you can see Mao Tse-tung giving the Red Guard swimming lessons. And you can hear the fortune cookies snapping, and on a clear day, you can read them. Now, this is the home nest of the Red Lions, the Black Knights, and the Red Devils. The C-130 crews who have been freighting us around Vietnam. I hope I'm not the reason they call them the trash haulers. Is that what they call them? Seriously, but anyway, I just want to tell all you guys with the 130s, you've done a marvelous job for us and really got us in and out fast, and that's what I like. Now, the C-130 is a four-engine plane most of the time. Last year, we lost an engine going in the long bin, and when we landed, they made us pay for it. Now, we had a great trip with them, and they made a great landing for us at Lai K. That's some field. The last 50 feet on the runway is up a rubber tree.
All right, Bob Hope there entertaining. I'm guessing he was entertaining the servicemen there. Where was that held? Do you remember? Or was there
was at the air base that he mentioned.
Oh, Zhongshan Air Base.
Yeah. And I should mention also that clip, which aired on Armed Forces Network Taiwan, was also a television special for NBC at the time.
Oh, wow.
So it broadcast all across America as well. Mm-hmm. That is the funny that Bob Hope was bringing to Taipei in 1969. Very interesting stuff right there. We're going to move ahead to our next clip as well. Another piece of tape that you preserved was actually about an hour-long show. I believe it was called China Nights.
Well, China Nights was a late-night program that would air from 10 o'clock onward. We have a couple of hours of it, but because of the condition of the tape, so far I've only been able to digitize one. And it was a late night program that played light entertainment music, like we heard a moment ago, maybe a little bit of Andy Williams, followed by maybe a bit of Herb Alpert, and then maybe something by the Searchers or Diana Ross. So it was really, you know, it was all over the place.
All right, so what we're going to set up right here is this is how the hour would have started. Similar to us at ICRT with the weather.
This is the Armed Forces Network, Taiwan.
And at 11:05, Chinese Air Force Weather Central reporting mostly cloudy skies and possible occasional rain for this evening. The high today was 88 degrees. Look for cloudy skies and occasional rain tomorrow. A low in the low 70s. Currently under mostly cloudy skies, the winds from the west at 5 miles an hour. The humidity 90%, and the 11:05 temperature 79.79 degrees.
Folks in Taipei are advised to look out their windows right now.
Because that's exactly what it's like.
It's a Doctor Who, actually. It's actually Doctor Who.
Not much has changed in 40-odd years, has it? Excellent. Okay, let's move to this next clip that we have here.
All right, we're going to delve a little bit more into the set. Here we're going to hear the DJ that they had at the time kind of setting up the hour. By which I mean the intro to the show. This is this little spot.
And welcome to music-filled moments on this...
Oh, okay, hold on one second. Sorry, but...
Wan'an, and welcome to music-filled moments on this China Night.
And that's him just setting up the program. Now we'll have the clip, the other clip that you had mentioned. Let's go to that.
The Baja Marimba Band and the Cry of the Wild Goose. Hi, I'm Frank Fellers, and this is China Night for a Sunday evening. A rather damp, cool Sunday evening here in Taipei. But I had to play a rather lively tune to get your attention tonight. I ran across some information that you might be interested in. On this day in 1775, paper money was authorized by Congress. It must have been a pretty good day, because at that time, a dollar was worth a dollar. Stick around, here's Anne Margaret. The name of the tune? You came a long way from St. Louis.
Terry, I just want to point out something.
Yeah.
What we just listened to is the 1969 version of This Day in History.
Yeah, no, you're right. It was just something we still do here on the morning show. It's interesting, the sound, but that being from 1969, it kind of seems to conjure an image of, or for me, an image of the way DJs talk like in the 40s and 50s. And here, dames, we've got a lot of music for you.
Well, it was. I mean, there was the time when if you listened to newsreaders, they'd be like, and today in the news, we're looking at da-da-da. And they would be like singing almost, you know. The style that he's using is not too unusual for that time.
Yeah, right.
It's just not unusual. It sounds, when we listen to it today, it sounds funny, because I think if anybody did that today, you'd be laughed at. But at the time, this is the way you had to sound.
Yeah, I mean, to me, that was fascinating listening to these tapes. Was, you're right, just the delivery that they used, which was different at the time. And keeping in mind, you know, radio was much bigger at the time too. In '69, when we're listening to this, this just would have been was huge, you know.
And the other thing that you might notice, at the pace that he was speaking. The pace that he was speaking is actually quite important, which goes to show that he was obviously speaking slower for people who are not native English speakers.
Yeah, right. Something we always have to be aware of here at ICRT,
right.
Of course.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, here's what we got to do. Just kind of that's going to lead very nicely into our next guest who we're going to have on in just a moment. In a moment, we'll be talking to a good friend of the morning show and somebody who worked here in Taiwan, in Tony Scott. So we're going to take a short break. Keith, hopefully you'll stay right where you are. Both Keith and Keith, hopefully you'll both stay where you are.
Both of us.
And we'll be back in just a moment. It's the morning show with Terry right here on ICRT.
哇,是海波儿童剧团林记忆.
Because it's the best music.
Jump in the car and listen to you all the way to work.
I love listening at lunch.
Your English connection in Taiwan.
I listen at work, I listen at home, I listen all the time.
ICRT.
This is the American Forces Network, Taiwan.
We jump ahead to 1975 now, and joining the program, a good friend of the morning show here. He spent some time in Taipei, graduated from TAS, the American school here, worked for the Armed Forces Network. It's where he got a start in radio before he became the radio, L.A. radio legend that he is. He's heard in a number of cities each and every day in America. Tony Scott joining the program. Tony, good morning.
Ni hao. How are you?
Hey, I'm glad
you know, it was 6 weeks ago, just
Terry, 6 weeks ago, I was there at those studios, and then after the show, we ran around Taipei hitting beer gardens, and I think I'm still hungover.
We did. Well, Tony, it was great having you. It's great having you back here, especially on this program here where we're talking about the Armed Forces Network. Why don't you tell us the beginning of the story here, how you got involved, and how TAS was involved, because we've got a clip of, I think it's of you here on Tiger Beat. Tell us just quickly about that.
Well, I'll try to do it quickly. Interrupt me if it's not quick enough, Gary. But my family and I moved to Taiwan from Kenya in 1974. We settled on Yangmingshan, which is Grass Mountain in English, and no wisecracks from people in the States. It had nothing to do with that. But we used to catch the school bus to Taipei American School right down the street from our house on Yangmingshan, and I noticed this white bunker-looking building across the street. No windows. It's very mysterious. And what added to the mystery was the arrival and departure of men and women in uniform and civilians. You know, and I'd wait for the bus, and I finally couldn't take it anymore. And I approached a woman one day. I said, "What is that?" She says, "Well, that's AFNT." And I couldn't believe it was right down the street from me. And she offered a tour one day after school. And I think it was the next day I was knocking on the door, right? So I got the tour. I met the staff. Within 6 months or so, I had weaseled my way onto the air as the host of the TAS Saturday morning show called Tiger Beat.
Okay, I'll hold you right there for a second, Tony, while we kind of put this into context for everybody.
I finished my homework.
Tuesday, October 22nd at 4:30, there's a girls' basketball game in the TAS gym. And Wednesday, October 22nd at 3:30, there's a cross-country meet. The starting line is somewhere between TAS and Ricardo Lins, but doesn't say exactly where.
Could it be?
Oh, wow. That's Tony, was that you?
Thank God my voice changed. It was
tough to get a gig.
Well, I tell you what, we talked about delivery before we were going to the break, and I don't know if you had heard about that, but, I mean, it sounds like that was 1975 for our listeners. It sounds like that delivery kind of stayed right through to 1975 where you had this kind of almost New York, hey, everybody, the news is coming up, you know, this real kind of...
That was Terry's impression of you.
A clip from my first ever on-air broadcast.
Oh, really?
I was an hour into it.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Well, you sounded great, man. You're a natural.
Oh, I don't know. I think the cassette got screwed up and it's too fast.
After Tiger Beat, you stayed on there for a little while.
Yeah, I graduated TAS and stayed on and started filling in for the other guys. I stayed on Taiwan. It was tough to leave. You know that. I mean, you get to Taipei's great. It's a wonderful place to live. There's a lot of expats there, and I had a great group of friends. And I stayed till 1978. I left Taipei, came back stateside, and by the end of 1978, I was on the air at WPGC in Washington, D.C., mm-hmm. which was the big top 40 station at the time. And made my way west. I'm here in L.A. for over 25 years now.
Yeah, right. Wow.
So this is where it all started.
Let me just say, I'm back at AFN for quite a few years doing features and imaging for the classic rocker for AFN, which is heard in over 100 countries. So,
wow.
Full circle. I know. It's crazy.
The golden voice right here on my program. I'm honored, Tony. You know that.
It all started on Tiger Beat.
Tiger Beat. Hey, that wasn't my idea. That's the mascot.
I believe it still is.
Guys, I have to say, before we wrap this up, before I run out of time, I want to say hello to the Taipei American School alumni who were part of the recent worldwide reunion. There's a lot listening. We had over 150 people from around the world who went to TAS, lived on the island. We had a week of so much fun. We all stayed at the Grand Hotel, and thanks to Lloyd Coleman,
yeah,
listening in Boston. Right now. He organized everything, and it was just spectacular.
Yeah, I was lucky enough to be there at the end with you guys. Good. Tony, just give us an idea of AFN and just in your time there, the late 70s. Just talk very quickly about the type of programming that we might have heard.
Well, we had music shipped over weekly. We'd have entire albums, and then we'd have top 40 hits on vinyl. But we also had shows shipped over. They were recorded back in the States, then shipped. American Top 40, Wolfman Jack were very popular. We had Tom Campbell stateside, Charlie Tuna. We had radio comedy segments like The Tooth Fairy and Chicken Man.
Wow. I'm going to hold you right there.
Wolfman Jack. Brian Dad Show right here on the AMRTS.
American Forces Radio.
AMRTS.
Wolfman Jack making their appearance.
So this is how Wolfman Jack made it to Taiwan.
Yeah. Wow. Great stuff, Tony.
He was huge.
Great stuff. Well, listen, thanks so much for joining us here this morning and helping us take this trip through our time machine into before ICRT was ICRT. So thanks so much, Tony. We're gonna send you off with this last little, and we'll let you say goodbye.
Zaijian.
Zaijian.
Zaijian. All right, Tony. Thanks so much.
Forces Network Taiwan.
See you guys. Thank you.
Why did we lose the jingle and the gong and everything? We should have kept that.
Yeah, I know. The jingle and the gong seems to be important to weather reports and everything at
really,
the time.
It really sells it.
You know, I just thought if you have nothing to say about the weather, just keep running that clip at certain times of the year. It fits perfectly.
Yeah, that's right. If we ever don't get anything from the Central Weather Bureau, we can just rerun that weather because it hasn't changed much.
Hasn't changed in
it's cloudy,
50 years.
About 80 degrees. About that. All right. Well, just before we leave here as well, Keith, because we do we have run out of time in just a great hour here, and we kind of owe it all to you for preserving AFN, and they're happy you've done it, I'm sure, and we here, of course, thank you so much for helping us take this.
Well, the stuff I should mention that we're starting to digitize it little by little. The tapes are being sent to Australia, where they're going to be cleaned up before we can actually put them on a deck and transfer them. We're starting, when that's done, actually, we will be releasing them where people will be able to listen to that material, because a lot of it is interesting. I mean, it's part of the radio history of Taiwan. Now, many people would not think that it is English radio in Taiwan, but it is.
Oh no, it is. Very much is, and it's ICRT owes everything to the AFN. Without AFN, we wouldn't be sitting here right now talking about it.
They bought it for a dollar.
Yeah, exactly. When a dollar was worth a dollar.
When a dollar was worth a dollar. Very good. All right, Keith. Well, thanks so much. And keep in touch, because in the future, some of those tapes get cleaned up and get digitized. We'd love to have you back. Like I said, we really could have done a couple of hours on this. And there's lots of stories here, and obviously very important to the history of ICRT. So thanks very much for joining us this morning. Thanks to Tony as well for joining us. Tony Scott and George Smith as well. All had a great hand in helping us with this hour here.
Well, that was actually the special program that I was invited on at ICRT here in Taipei to talk about the early days, which, of course, it wasn't at the time called ICRT, but it was called the Armed Forces Taiwan Network. Now, AFN, the Armed Forces Network, had a number of stations throughout Southeast Asia. They have one in Korea, Japan. Where's the other one again? Guam, Vietnam, well, the Vietnam one, and of course it's long gone, a Taiwan one as well. And these stations were actually quite popular, not just with U.S. soldiers who were stationed here, but also through anybody that was interested in American pop music and British pop music as well. So that was the program that I did. Hope you enjoyed that. We will make that, of course, available as a download through our website very, very soon. Anyway, before we go, I just want to remind you again of the program you have been listening to, of course, which was Happy Station, a special edition of the program that featured a program that I was on 2 weeks ago. And if you wish to contact us to let us know what you think, if you have any ideas or suggestions for upcoming programs, we'd love to hear from you. Our email address is pcjqsl@pcjmedia.com. That's pcjqsl@pcjmedia.com. We do have some very interesting programs coming up this summer. There are some features that we had recorded in Europe that we hadn't used yet, and we're going to bring you those, as well as something that I have been working on for quite some time, and that is a cycling edition of Happy Station. Yes, a cycling edition of Happy Station. Now, another one that is involving another vehicle, which is cars. Now, yes, I have been doing a car show. It hasn't aired yet in Taiwan. It's airing in the fall.
but there's a popular car show of which I'm one of the hosts for the Taiwan version of it. And we're going to do something on that also in the summertime as well. And that should be a lot of fun. Okay. I can't really talk more about it. As much as I would like to, at the moment, I can't. Anyway, we're going to leave you today with Steve Lawrence and All the Way. So until next time, friends, I'm Keith Powell, wishing you well, saying so long, au revoir, auf Wiedersehen, adios amigos, and sayonara.
Somebody loves you, it's no good unless she loves you. All the way. Happy to be near you when you need someone to cheer you. All the way. Taller than the tallest tree is, that's how it's gotta feel. Deeper than the deep blue sea is, that's how deep it goes if it's real. When somebody needs you, it's no good unless she needs you. All the way. Through the good or lean years and for all the in-between years, come what may. Where the road will lead us, only a fool would say. But if you let me love you, it's for sure I'm gonna love you. For sure, I'm gonna love you.